The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit, too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Bismillah. We're here in Granada. This is the Alhambra, the beautiful Alhambra, the Red Palace of the Moors. We are in the courtyard of the first masjid to be built in Granada since 1492. We know that 1492 was when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. But the way that Columbus sailed the ocean blue is he was given the funds from Ferdinand and Isabella due to the fact that they sacked and defeated the last Moorish stronghold in Granada in 1492. And just being here, it's like a window into history. And you see how beautiful it is and how in tune with nature it is and how much it brings one to presence. And it just reminded me of a poem called Opposite of Evolution. And the concept of this poem is that though we move forward and we are modern men and we have technology and we have all these amazing things, we shouldn't arrogate to ourselves this ability to see ourselves as greater than our ancestors and our predecessors. Because perhaps they had something that we forgot. Bismillah. I believe in the opposite of evolution. We all once spoke in poems. The heartbeat was the drum beat, but most have lost the essence in the form. The bumbling caveman we imagine is us, in fact, in truth. Things are flowing down, not upward. The waterfall is proof. When spirit danced on tooth and lip and hearts were carved with tongues, when nature was revelation. But now what will we tell our young? I believe this moment here and now was written before the stars, each word red in color, like dust storm clouds on Mars. No black and white, salmon swimming upstream home like Adam since the fall. The voice was never silent. The question is, who will heed the call? Darwin's dreams were misinterpreted. He thought that science was a lie. He didn't ask the ones who'd master, but thought who'd better know than I. The bumbling caveman we imagine is us, in fact. Things are flowing down, not upward. The waterfall is proof. The spirit danced on tooth and lip, and hearts were carved with tongue. When nature was revelation, now what will we tell our young? And I don't believe that the ends justify the means, because for the judge outside of time, there is no end or in between. So if you lean much closer, I'll share a secret I was told. Hell is not just burning fire, it is also freezing cold. Contemplate the range of temperatures in our galaxy alone. By what we can bear within that scale, our fragility is shown, but a fraction. Arrogance from this point of view is such an odd reaction, yet so many claim to know it all, so many sects and factions. Who will come down from themselves and truly prostrate only once? But it's hard to see through the
dead. I'm a little loud. Hold on one moment, please.
You're listening to Health Issues on.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to American Muslim 360, and this is the broadcast of Positive Powerful Choices Now, hosted by our beloved Sister Latifa Hameen. Sister Latifa Hameen.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. This is Latifa Hameen with Powerful Choices Now this evening. I apologize for getting on so late, but I'm here now, alhamdulillah. I would like to start, inshallah, I would like to start with my poem, one of my poems, The Awakening of Your Soul, and that's from my poetry book. The Stranger Within. I talk to you every day, but I really don't know who you are. I rationalize the way I want you to be. I even put on a facade. I want to be accepted by people on the outside, but I must realize it's what I think of me that really matters. I do things and say, that's just the way I am, without examining why I say it in that particular way. I don't take time to listen to the stranger within. I don't know, nor do I understand or identify what makes me who I am. I fail to understand what's being dictated to me from the stranger within. I put blinders on so I can't see the reality of me. I think I'm on top of my game, but I don't know a darn thing. I allow others to come in and shape and mold my behavior, and I'm not even aware of what's happening to me. I think I'm in control, but all along I'm the one that's being played on. I hide behind laughter. But I really want to cry. I don't know why I feel this way. Sometimes I just want to die. These feelings are scary. I don't really understand what's happening to me. But the stranger within cries out to stop and take a look inside myself to see. I'm so busy trying to impress, put it on an act that I don't see. I'm the one being laughed at. I need to take time to examine my mind, thoughts, and actions to understand why I react in the way that I do. I need to internalize on the inside, stop being what others have dictated who I should be, and start focusing in on the real me. The stranger within only wants me to come into my true being, listening to what my voice says on the inside, tuning the loud noise on the outside, realizing I'm the one in control of my own mind. I will know when the real me has begun because I will have become one with the stranger within. Are you connected to the stranger within? Oh, that's one of the that's one of the longer poems I have, The Stranger Within. I thought it's very appropriate for us to continue where we left off last week with, we were talking with healthy, positive choices. We started two Wednesdays ago, we started talking about that thing of domestic violence awareness. And because of a young lady that had gotten killed about a couple weeks ago, and now they had a young lady down in Houston, I believe, that was in the freezer, that they found her dead in the freezer. And that was some abuse that went on with that particular situation as well. So as we know, domestic abuse, domestic violence is something that's running rampant in our society. And we've talked about it. We talked about the cycle of abuse. We talked about the different forms of abuse, why people stay in these particular abusive relationships. And the first thing we know we must do is educate. That's something that we know we must do. So I wanted to, tonight, I wanted to talk a little bit about the abusers. And I know, as you know, Domestic Violence Awareness Month is coming up next month, October, and also Breast Cancer Awareness. So we're going to dedicate next month, again, to domestic violence and breast cancer awareness. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the abusers and control. So when we think about abusers, just like the person, the rapist, it's not about sex for the rapist, and it's not about anger so much with the abuser as it is, again, control. The rapist control anyone that wants to have the higher, that wants to have that. Remember, we talked about the unequal distribution of power or. The inequality of power. So when one towers over another, we know that that is a controlled situation. So we look at the abusers, and let's talk a little bit about that, because people say sometimes, well, we never think about the abusers. We never zero in on the abusers because we're thinking about, okay, well, the victim. But let's talk a little bit about the abusers now, things that I have an understanding of about just the makeup, if you will, of some of the research that I've done. So we say that abusers can control their behavior. Do you all believe that they can control their behavior? Well, they do it all the time. Okay? All right, so number one, they pick and choose whom to abuse. Now you say, well, how do they do that? Because if someone is, you know, they can kind of, an abuser can kind of look at a person and see, wow, this person is needy. This person needs love. This person, but what they do is they start probing. They start really trying to see what this individual is about. And as they see the neediness, or they see this person wants somebody to love them or wants someone to care about them. So sometimes the abuser uses that to his or her advantage, okay? Now, if you have someone that's pretty strong, I'm talking about in terms of loving who they are, and we're not talking about selfish love, we're talking about just loving yourself enough to take care of yourself. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. So they pick and choose who they will abuse. So if they come up to someone that has a healthy self-esteem or healthy self-worth, well, then they're going to go just so far because they see that they cannot manipulate that situation. So they go on to the next person. So they pick and choose. They don't abuse, insult, and try to control everyone in their lives, just the ones that they see that they're able to control. Abusers choose when and where to abuse. Okay, so let's look at that a moment. They know how to control themselves until no one else is around to see their abusive behavior. You know how some people, they'll go out, you'll be out in public, and sometimes when you're out in public, you're like, you know, they'll come up to you and whisper just like till we get home. So they know how and when and where to abuse, you know. So that's one of the things. So since they know that, then what? They know how to control themselves. They can whisper what they want to say in your ear so they know that they can get you later on. So they're there, you know, they're not out of control. That's not out of control. That's very much in control. All right, the next one. They're able to stop their abusive behavior when it benefits them. Let's look at an example. When they're actually abusing the victim, he or she, the police come. Sometimes they know how to straighten up. Oh, wow, you know, I'm going to straighten up. Because why? Because they're not out of control. They know, okay, if I continue to do this, then the police may take me to jail. Or if my boss calls and I'm ratting and raving over the phone, then my boss may think that I'm not able to do my job or whatever the case may be. So you can be ready to do something violently or as we know, abuse is not only physical. So it could be something else that you're doing. Time the phone ring. Say you're saying something that's condescending to your partner. The phone rings. You get up. And you straighten up and you talk as though nothing is going on. It's your boss telling you whatever. So you know how to straighten up. So you get the pattern of behavior is what I'm saying, is that there are signs in this. There are different kinds of things that abusers manipulate a situation to their advantage. Violent abusers, the next one, violent abusers usually direct their blows where they won't show. Now, there's some times where the abuser may hit, or remember again, it's not all about physical, but just say that they may hit someone. And they don't want the bruises to show, so they may do it where? Somewhere where they know that person is not going to take off, you know, the clothes. A person can see it, readily see it. Now, there's some times when someone may get hit in the eye or something like that. Sometimes that happens. But look at the fact that the majority of the time, it's kind of calculated. I'm going to hit them, you know, her or there or that. They don't just be out of control. They hit the blows or put the blows where they know that most people will not be able to detect them. They carefully aim their kicks and their punches so where the bruises will not show. All right. So those are some of the things that I have listed there. And when I do this, I really try to make it a learning experience, because to me, the education is so vital in domestic abuse, because I believe that that's a starting point to be able to get the education that's needed so a person can make an informed decision for their lives. All right, so abusive behavior and violence is what? The abusers choose to do that. They have a choice, okay? They choose that, so remember that. They're not going aimlessly around. They have a choice as to what they will do and will not do. All right, let's look at some of the tactics that I'm going to list here that abusers take time to calculate. All right, let's look at dominance. Abusers need to feel and control the relationship for all decisions. Well, they need to dominate. Now, when we talk about abuse, notice that I say he or she, because I'm not saying all men are abusers. I'm not saying all women. I'm saying you never know what's going on. Now, we know, statistically speaking, that men are the ones that are the physically abusive more so than the woman, well, statistically speaking. But women can be abusers as well, and we're going to talk about that because I like to give an equal share of both of them to show you that it's not all about the man being an abuser as well, or the woman as well as the man sometimes can be an abuser. The next one, first one we said was dominance. The next one is humiliation. Abusers will try to make the victim feel bad and worthless. They will try to humiliate the victim so that he or she will feel less than or worthless. Isolation. In order for the abuser to increase that dependency on, for that, to increase the dependency of the victim, what he or she does is cut the victim off from family and friends. Because if a person can get you more dependent upon them, guess what? Then they're less likely to go to someone else. Okay? So that's isolation. They isolate so that the victim will have more dependency on the abuser. Threats. Abusers, they use threats to keep their victim. Sometimes they threaten to kill themselves. Sometimes they threaten to kill the victim. Sometimes they threaten to kill the children and even commit suicide, him or herself. So there's some scare tactics, threats that they use in that given situation. All right. Intimidation. So intimidation, a variety of tactics may be used to scare a victim into submission by the abuser. What they may give them threatening looks. They may throw things, destroy the property. And sometimes just sitting at the table and putting a gun out on display. That's intimidation. The next one is denial and blame. Abusers may blame their abusive behavior on a bad childhood, a bad day, or even on the victim. But notice that it is never the abuser's fault when they are abusing the victim. It's always someone else's fault. They do not take ownership for the abuse. They do not take ownership, and they do blame others. Okay, now that particular one is abusers and control. So the goal of an abuser is to control the victim. Now, with abusers, again, it is not anger in itself. It is a form of control. Now, when we look a little bit further with abusers, how could an abuser try to turn things around? There's help for the abuser, but they may do these following things. They have to do, if they choose to do the following. The first thing an abuser has to do is accept the responsibility for his or her actions. To admit I am an abuser. Just like you go to AA, just like you go to drug rehabilitation, the first thing is what? To admit that you are doing what you're doing, taking responsibility for what you are doing. That's the first thing, is taking the responsibility. The next one is to get some kind of help, go into treatment, counseling, and it will take a lot of it. It's not going to be, oh, well, I'm going one session or two sessions. No, it's going to take some stuff, because guess what? With the abusers, I can almost guarantee you that there's a lot of stuff deep down that's buried that needs to come out. Because when someone takes on that responsibility of harming another person, there are some issues going on. Or they may not take solely pleasure, but that's how they get their anger out. That's how they control. So, and I almost guarantee if you go back to the abuser's childhood in some kind of way, you will find that there is some issues back then. The abuser didn't just wake up abusing. That was a learned behavior, whether it was in a household, whether it was in his environment, his or her environment. It is a learned experience, a learned, it is very much so. It is not something that a person comes here doing. They look, they emulate, and they get it from someone else, whatever that environment is. So I'm saying that abuser, if you go back to that childhood, you know, 9 times out of 10, something, if that abuser stays in therapy long enough, you'll begin to pull some of that stuff out, because there are some issues in that given situation. Now, first thing again, accepting responsibility, then get some help going to treatment without the victim. Okay. No strings attached. Because if the abuser goes and says, well, I will only go if you're waiting for me when I come back, no matter how long it may take for me to get myself together. And the victim should say no. It should not be contingent upon that person going back to you, that you go to get help as an abuser. Because when you do that, then you're doing it for the other person. You have to be barren alone, and you must do it for yourself and no one else. And that's a very, very important part, is to do this for you and no one else. Because if you do it, guess what? If you do it for someone else, it's going to be short-lived, because it's not internalized. It's not something that you really feel strongly about getting help for. Okay? So it shouldn't be contingent upon that person taking you back after you complete the program. So the abuser must take responsibility and get some help. And that person didn't get to be where they are in terms of that abuse overnight. And it's not going to take overnight to rectify this particular problem. If the abusive behavior took time to learn, and it will take time to dissolve. An abuser must want to change, and some will never change. Because once the abuse occurs, the chances are the cycle of abuse will continue to repeat itself unless there is some kind of intervention. Now, you can do, there's some interventions as well. And that's when you call a meeting, and you allow, you let that person know how their behavior is affecting your life. And then you want to get over to that person, that abuser, and sometimes that doesn't happen either. But we have to try and start somewhere. Knowledge is the key, having the knowledge. Once the abuse occurs, the chances are the cycle of abuse will continue to repeat itself unless there is some kind of intervention. Again, the first step for the abuser is to admit he or she is an abuser. So men and women alike can be abusers. Don't think that it's only for the male. And we're going to stop there, Brother Imam, and we're going to take a pause for the calls. You're listening to Powerful Choices Now with your host, Latifa Hameen. And when we come back, if any listening audience would like to comment, have a comment or concern, or just want to just say something, please press 1 on your phone, and we'll be right back to answer any questions. Thank you.
Yes, Sister Hameen,
yes.
Unfortunately, I'm logging back on my computer. It went black, and I don't have a visual of the studio board, but it's logging back in now at this time.
Okay, well, I'm right now, my camera
But I would like to, yes, I would like to add
again. Okay.
Ma'am?
I said it came. Mine came back up again, so people can press 1 because I'm in it where I can at least hit something. All right, yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, here it comes now. Alhamdulillah. We'll move to the PSAs if you are ready at this time.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Zakia Muhammad, Founding Director and CEO of IMAS, Institute of Muslim American Studies, inviting you to join me in supporting CWSC and AM 360 Radio with your tax-deductible contribution. Visit cwsc.us or call in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world. Thank you.
Welcome back to Powerful Choices.
Go ahead, my sister. I'm sorry.
Are you back on? I see a caller. Dr.
Yes, ma'am, I'm
Aisha.
On.
Okay, Dr.
Yes,
Aisha.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Aisha Kareem.
Well, salam. I thought Blog Talk blew up or something.
Oh, you did. We have Grinches. That we are battling the Grinches. So far, we are winning.
It's been one of those days. I'm telling you, it's like I'm
right in the midst of our national telethon.
Yeah, right in the middle of. Lord.
But greetings to the believers and listeners, and I'm sure that everybody has enjoyed this very critical. Could be life-saving information program that Sister Latifah has brought to us tonight. So you see that AM 360 can be relied upon to bring you important programming. But unfortunately, we have not reached our telethon goal line, which, you know, a reality of it, it could put our show programs at risk. And we're short $3,000. So we're asking you to join us, listeners and believers, to give to our national telethon drive so we can reach our goal of $10,000. And tonight, actually, we have a real deal for you. We have a special. So everyone who's in earshot and has a friend, if you will go to www.cwsc.us and give $34 only. That's all you have to do is pledge $34, and we will reach our $10,000 goal. So, but you can do it even quicker than that. You could just call in to 910-317-0297 if you choose, and pledge that $34 to help us reach our $10,000 goal. And once we reach our goal, then we will not be interrupting our important programs like this on a daily basis. So, inshallah, everyone that's in earshot will call in or go online to www.cwsc.us and pledge $34 only. And while you're there, please go through the new website. It's informative and beautiful. So, Sister Latifah, thank you. And we'll see if anyone is ready to pledge $34.
Yes, ma'am. You got mine. You got mine, Dr. Aisha. You got mine. Alhamdulillah.
Okay. Got $34 from Sister Latifah.
yes, ma'am. I'm starting it out. I'm starting.
it's cheaper than Luby's, huh?
Yes. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
That was a big joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got Sister Latifah's $34. Praises be to Allah. Last night, praises be to Allah, we almost got it was over 600, almost close to 700 worth of $34 last night, because we were at 4,000 short. And then during the day. And so now we're at 3,000. So we'd like to make that same 700 tonight via $34 if the listeners are enjoying the AM 360 programming and our host and just our community coming together and working to bring us what we need, our own program. So, again, we ask the listeners to call in at their earliest and pledge for us. And, Sister, thank you so very much for
your... You're welcome. Always my pleasure.
Show.
Thank you, Dr. Aisha.
Yeah. Yes, a great show, very informative, Abdullah.
Thank you so much.
We encourage the believers to join us in meeting our national radio telethon drive. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right.
Yeah, and I'll be listening in to pledges too. All right.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You so, much.
So you're welcome. And as Dr. Aisha stated, it is a very worthy cause. So if you would like to pledge, please don't hesitate. Press that one and $34. That's a meal nowadays. You're gonna have a meal is almost $34. So that is something that I think we all can participate in, inshallah. So if any of any listening audience that would like to have a comment or concern, please press 1 to get in the queue. All right, if not, I will continue on. All right, so now I'm going to go down. I talked about the abusers and all of the things that go along with that, the manipulation and how they can control themselves and how they zero in on specific areas. So if you know to study that, just go back and study that, and you will see that there is a pattern of behavior. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Did you know that women can be abusers too? Let's talk a little bit about that. The U.S. survey indicates that young women are 3 times as likely to admit hitting their partner as men are. 1 in 7 women aged 15 to 22 admits to hitting their partner, compared to just 1 in 20 men. Now, of course, men are not going to tell you right away if somebody's hitting them because they don't want to feel that kind of pressure or that kind of shame. So pop culture gives the impression it is cute or empowering or even sexy when women hit men. Now, we reverse that, it would carry a what? A meaning of male abuse. So we can't have a two-edged sword here. It was good for the goose and good for the gander, if you all remember that saying. So it is a two-way street. It's not just men being abusers. There are also women that are abusers. According to the most recent British crime survey, as much as a third of domestic violence in the UK is female on male. You didn't hear me. Third of domestic abuse in the UK is female on male abuse. Something there. The casual female on male violence that we accept on our screen is sexist. What it suggests is that women cannot do men any real harm. Or she can't do him any real harm. Okay? So that's that casual female on male violence. The size of the bruises and the amount of blood present does not measure the effect of violence, because condescending, control, or intimidation are all a part of abuse. Okay, condescending, control, or intimidation, all a part of abuse. When it comes to emotional abuse, men are affected more by it than physical. So you have a man that emotionally is being abused by his significant other. Well, this, and here it says that they're affected more by emotional abuse than by physical abuse. So a woman can use her behavior, her abusive behavior, what, to manipulate her mate into submission or compliance with what she really wants. She accomplishes control in a variety of ways. She may verbally abused by calling names, throwing things, and being condescending by saying her mate is stupid, worthless, or will not amount to anything. She may become physically violent, inflicting pain, bruises, broken bones, and other physical wounds, visible and hidden both. There is help for the abuser. So we know that there is help for all the abuser, and a woman can be an abuser too. So we know that. So we see here, and what I've just discussed with you, is that women can be abusers to men. It's not all men being abused. But we don't want it at all, abused at all. I want to give you some of that breakdown with statistics on the domestic violence where the women are concerned. All right. So with that, anyone, press 1 to get in the queue if you have any questions or comments or concerns. Other than that, I will continue. Now, we talked a little bit about red flags last week. We talked a whole lot. We talked a little bit about red flags. And we talked a little bit about the characteristics. We talked about the characteristics of victims and abusers, okay? Now, we didn't go into really in depth with it, but let me give you some of the characteristics of victim. These are things that you would want to look for. Emotional vulnerability. And usually you will find that person, 9 times out of 10, depressed. They will be confused mentally. They will learn to be helpless. And they will blame themselves for the failure of that relationship. Acts responsibility for, or takes responsibility for, or ownership for the abuser's actions. Trust and boundary issues. Tendency to minimize the abuse. Irrational belief system. Poor communication skills. Those are some of the characteristics of the victim. So look at some of the characteristics of the abuser. What they do is they place blame for their abuse on external forces. Tendency toward jealous and possessiveness. Minimizing the impact of the abuse on the victim. Needs to be in control at all times. Poor self-identity and self and low self-esteem. Aggressive or passive. Emotionally unavailable and poor communication skills. Manipulates others to maintain control. Wow, there's a lot going on there. All right, so those are the characteristics of both. Now, over time, abuse and relationships affect everyone involved. If such behavior is noticed and minimized, one may find him or herself on an emotional roller coaster. Jealousy and possessiveness are the first two signs of relationship abuse. Again, jealousy and possessiveness are the first two signs of relationship abuse. So it is wise to keep an open mind, especially in the beginning of a relationship, to see if there are a lot of red flags that are present. All right. So again, we talked about the abusers, male and female, and we also talked about the characteristics. Now, some of the red flags, we mentioned some of the red flags last week, but again, I'm going to go over a few of them here. Constantly checks up on you, has a quick temper, has extreme mood swings, gets too anxious too fast, puts you down in front of others, show little respect, refuses to discuss, negotiate, and compromise. Looks at the opposite sex as a sex object. Abuses of drugs, alcohol, and other mood-altering substances. Become hypersensitive to criticism or perceived criticism. Isolate you from family and friends. Acts jealous or possessive towards you and manipulates you. Those are all red flags. There's so many red flags, but these here are really, really great things to take heed to, the red flags and the characteristics of the abuser. All right, I am going to give you one more step here. We talked about why people stay last week, and I said I would talk a little bit about the abuse among family, friends, and other places, the workplace. Okay. All right, so let's look at a scenario. So we know that abuse is not only with a spouse. Abuse can be, we said, friends, to women friends, guy friends. It can be among your siblings, your mom, your dad. So abuse is not just in a relationship, is what I'm saying. They can be in so many different abuse. It can be any kind of relationship abuse can take place. Because when one is towering over you, remember, when you have inequality of power, abuse is there. All right. Now, let's get to scenario one. When you're on a job, we're going to talk about being on the job, and the boss yells and speaks to you in a harsh manner. So that boss is displaying dissatisfaction on the project that you just completed. All right? The boss is yelling and screaming. The first thing you may say to yourself is you need the job. So you accept the abusive behavior. However, it is crossing the line of abusive behavior whenever someone disrespects and disregards you as a person. Everyone deserves respect. On the other hand, you may do the opposite by yelling back. So you may say, well, I'm not going to let anyone yell at me, so I'll yell back at him or her. No. Sometimes you're more powerful when you say less. But you, whatever you say, is powerful. That will make a difference. I'm not going to have this conversation with you at this particular time because I don't think either one of us are in a position or we're both too angry or whatever the case may be. And so one person has to be big enough to say, I'm not going to go there with that person. Because it's so easy to go there, oh, y'all back and forth. And then you're looking crazy going back and forth because guess what? No one is even listening. Somebody's just waiting to get their point across. No one's listening. So you're going back and forth for nothing. No one's even listening to anything. All right, so that's what you would use the I statement. I don't know if you've been in my class before, I talk about the I statement. That's when you state what you want. You will do an I statement, stating what you want and making that be known, what you want and not just going along with what that person wants, okay? All right, so let's look at that. And then when you can talk, then at that point, then you can have a conversation and discuss what took place and kind of go from there, okay? Now, the next one would be, say, abuse with a sibling, okay? Say you have a brother or sister that always wants control. Whenever there are things going on in the family, and one time, you decide to stop that, and you decide, no, I don't want that any longer. Now, again, you want to use the I statement. When you do this, I feel like this. When, let's just say, we have to, if that person, your family member is, and here, let me read what I have here about the family member. Say you have a brother who takes control at most of the family gatherings, especially at his house. He wants to control what family members do in his house by watching their every move. So one day you've had enough. So you decide to draw the boundaries and break the cycle of abusive behavior. So what do? You say to your brother, when you try to control everything, I feel like a child and it does not feel good to me. It's important to express yourself because what? You are now taking responsibility for the way you feel. Because when you take responsibility for the way you feel, what can someone else do? This is how I feel. When you do this, I feel like this. when you try to control, I feel like a child. Now, if you say, you do this and you do that, so there's an argument, because we're naturally going to go on the defense. We're naturally going to go on the defense. So we don't want to just, all right, I'm just going to jump on this, because two wrongs don't make a right. So what you want to try to, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So if you're going to, oh, I'm going to tell this person off and I'll do this and I'll do that. No, you got to find a way to solve the problem rather than jumping in there and making it even worse. Now, that may be a little iffy in the family. Why? Because you already know that person is not used to someone drawing boundaries. So you're going to have a lot of slack at first. But you have to make a decision. Do I want to stand up for what I believe in, for myself, to love myself enough to stand up and say no? I'm not talking about it in an ugly way. I'm not talking about fussing anybody out. I'm talking about saying, when you try to control everything, I feel like a child. What is someone going to do with that? So I'm saying you want to solve. You don't want to keep things going back and forth. And this person is mad. Well, you cannot be responsible if that person gets mad because of what has happened. But you have to be respectful. You want to keep respect out front. You don't want to just lose it. You feel like you're going to lose it and go somewhere and cool off, because that's not helping the situation. So we have to think about that. And sometimes we have to step back. And the bigger person is the person that can say, I'm sorry. The bigger person is the person that can say, I'm not going to just be angry and stand on my ground. I want to look at this. I want to see, am I doing the right thing? What's going to be the best thing for all involved? Okay? So, and I know we're at the top of the hour, but I want to do this last scenario here. And this last scenario is with, say, you have a friend. And this friend has a dominant personality and wants to have control over your friendship. It's usually the friend's way or no way. And I know we all know people like that. It's either their way or no way. So sometimes we go along with that because we think that that person is our friend. But, you know, we got to look up the definition of friendship. Friendship is not allowing someone to treat you any kind of way just to be their friend. All right? So if you have a friend that wants something from you, say you have a friend that asks you to do something and you really are uncomfortable with it, and so you say, no, I'm not comfortable. Well, person gets mad. And they because it's something that they want you to do and you're not going to do because you're not comfortable. You have to be open enough and love yourself enough to say no. But again, I have to stress, it has to be in a respectful way. And if you have a true friend will try to be the mirror of you. That is not a lopsided situation where every time the friend wants something, they call you and talk to you. But when they don't, when you can't do anything for them, they don't have time for you. That's not friendship. Friendship is a two-way street. It's reciprocal in a friendship. So if you have a friendship where you're just doing everything and always trying to please your friend, you need to examine that relationship. Stand back from it. Because it becomes power and control versus equality. And that becomes that kind of relationship. So think about that. So tonight we have talked about abusers and control, and knowing that abusers, they choose that. That manipulation, the tactics that they use. And there is a way out for the abuser. But the first thing, as with anything that you're addicted to, is to admit that that's what you're doing and then go from there to get the help, to do it for yourself, and to really be sincere. And I've met people, a couple of guys that were abusers, and they said they feel so remorseful. And now they've gone to get some help, and now they're ready to pursue a healthy relationship. Alhamdulillah. And, all right, so we talked about that. We talked about women being abusers, because women can be abusers. So we talked about that. And we also talked about the abuse amongst family, friends, and the workplace. Talked about the workplace a little bit. You know, sometimes these supervisors, they want to tower over you. But, you know, there's a way, instead of getting upset, it's to, you know, when you're upset, just wait until everything is calm and bring them and pull them to the side and explain to them how you feel. And you don't have to say, well, you did this and you. No, when you do this, I feel this way. You take responsibility for the way that you feel, okay? We have to take responsibility for the way that we feel in any given situation. This is not an easy task. This task is not easy at all. This takes, you've got to be strong. You've got to want to be committed to being a better person and loving who you are. And again, when I talk about love, I don't talk about a selfish love. I'm talking about a love that you have for yourself, where you're going to love yourself before you allow somebody else to come in and treat you any kind of way. See, when love does not hurt, so if you love somebody and they're treating you like a doormat, that means what? That you're not loving yourself enough to address that situation or walk away from that situation, because you have to love yourself more than you love someone else. Because when you do that, then you're not going to let boundaries, people cross certain boundaries with you, because why? Because you have that love for yourself. But I believe only when you love yourself is when you can love someone else, because you know what that is and you know what that feels like. And you're not going to cross boundaries with other people as well because of the way that you feel about yourself, and you wouldn't want anyone to do that to you. So you're going to treat others as you would want to be treated, okay? So, and I'm going to stop there. We're going to, inshallah, for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, October, we're going to talk, get a little bit more in depth, and I'm going to get the audience involved. I'm going to do some little, some little work stuff that I want you all to get involved. So we're going to have a little fun with that, and we're going to do some things on breast cancer as well, because that's breast cancer awareness. And I am both a victorious survivor of abuse and also a victorious survivor of breast cancer. So I have a twofold there, and alhamdulillah, I'm going to be able to share some of my experiences in both of those in the month of October, inshallah. So I'm going to leave you all now with one of my favorite poems of self-love, and then we're going to conclude for this evening. When self-love is truly there, you will feel it through and through. It will be the spirit that dwells inside of you. When self-love is truly within, you'll know happiness because it will be part of your being. When self-love is truly there, it's like a ray of hope in the air. When you walk in the room, confidence will shine. You'll be rare like a fine wine. No need to say a word. It will be in your smile, on your face, and you will glide with such grace. When self-love is truly there, you'll have self-respect because you will command to be treated the best. When someone does otherwise, you will quickly rise and politely excuse yourself, because this is treatment you won't accept. When self-love is truly there, self-esteem will be the best, because you won't settle for anything less. Do you all have self-love? Thank you so much for listening. this is powerful choices now with Atifa Hameen. We know you had a choice tonight, but your choice was to be here with us, and we appreciate you so much. And I apologize for getting on late this evening and cutting into our time. And thank you, Brother Imam Kareem, for coming in that last moment. I've been having like a lot of sinus issues, and so it's been a little rough today, but alhamdulillah, Allah made it possible for me to get on and get through this. Alhamdulillah. So with that, I'd like to say, listening audience, thank you so much for joining in this evening. And inshallah, I'm excited about next month and about getting some information and sharing education, so important on these subjects. Thank you so much, and may Allah bless us all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good night.
And your light will shine for the world to see. Keep your heart.